April 5, 2023, it's Watt from Pedro Show.
Mm-hmm.
Watt for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. We started off with John Cale. No. Shit, I got John Cale on the mind here. Beautiful man. I think he's living in SoCal these days. No, this is John Coltrane when he was playing with Johnny Hodges. Rabbit, 1954. Don't Blame Me. Live, one of them radio broadcast things. Then we had Dear France with Only Time Will Tell. And because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention, I got with me all the way from New York City. Dear France, along with bass brother Kai. Welcome aboard.
Hi.
Absolute. And right away, we got to give credit to Bob Teagan in Detroit. You know, he's a little past that 8 mile highway or road, they call it there. But he's the one who made the connect here between us. And really interested.
He still has like the hour, right? He's always putting up, he's always recording live.
Yeah, he's a video man. He's got a show called The Wendy Hour. He's had for what, like 40 years?
Exactly.
You can go to YouTube.com, people, and check out The Wendy Hour. Or sometimes he spells it in French. Lahore, like Wendy Lahore. And he's got all kinds of stuff, lots of my gigs, but lots of other people's. A great one of Tenko playing guitar and singing at CBGB's early years. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to learn about your journey through music because he said it was most interesting. So please bring your earliest memory, your earliest musical recollection, dear France.
My earliest musical collection, well...
Recollection, memory.
Yeah. I was kind of just surrounded by music all the time. The most beautiful piece of furniture in the house was the radio. So I was just attracted to that. And then I would go to American Bandstand and the Clay Cole show. I would come in, take my skates off, watch the show religiously, and then go back out and skate up and down. I was born in Manhattan. But then everyone in my family sang. They're Irish. Everyone's singing all the time while they're throwing beer around. And then I taught myself piano, and then I got an acoustic guitar, and that was that. I was just...
Well, let me ask you this. So your earliest memory is like American Bandstand on the television.
Yeah. Okay. And then there was Ricky Nelson.
Sure.
I mean, people don't understand. I mean, rock and roll was in the living room.
Okay.
You know, with Elvis, you know, like I saw Elvis, and then when I saw the Beatles, I was one of those girls who got carried home. I had fainted. I didn't know how I had fainted, but I had just fainted. I was just really just always just taken by with the music. So.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. You said everybody in the family was singing, and of course the voice is an instrument. But was there other musical instruments in the pad you grew up?
No, there wasn't. Everyone was singing and dancing. I was the first person. My uncle, through marriage, he played clarinet and saxophone, and he was the artist.
The licorice stick. Well, let me ask you this. What about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
No, I'm inner city, honey. I was raised in Washington Heights.
I wasn't there, so I got to ask you these things. When I get the mind reading thing down, it'll be no problem. Won't have to say a word. But in the meantime, I'm going to use words to ask you questions because I wasn't there. So can I ask you, what was the first record you bought with your own money?
I think... This is The Animals. I think I got The Animals or The Stones first. And then I also had All Day and All the Night, that single, and I played it back and forth.
That's The Kinks, I think.
Side B, The Kinks, yeah. I love Ray Kinks.
So what was the first gig you saw, dear France?
My first concert was The Rolling Stones in 1966 in Forest Hills with Brian Jones. And the Standells opened up. My mom had a boyfriend, and he wanted me out of the house. He goes, here, kid, have a ticket. So I went over to Queens, and I saw the Stones all by myself. And it was, you know, that I was on the same side of the stage as Brian Jones, and that was it for me. I mean, you know, it's one thing hearing it coming out of the radio, because I used to listen to also, like, the soap operas on the radio. You know, I just loved the voice. You know, the Shadow Knows. But when you see your first live band, that's just it. And then, you know, because I was in the city, I go down, you know, to the Village, and you know, the Fugs would be playing and the Mothers of Invention would be playing and the Rascals would be playing and everyone in my neighborhood was listening to Motown and Stax, and then there was a lot of big Spanish influence, so there was a lot of different rhythms going around, so, you know, it was just, you know, New York is a great place to be. Plus, also back then, it was like all ages. They didn't serve alcohol, so you just go into all these cafes and you'd be seeing, you know, people jamming and playing, and it didn't matter how old you were. I was 12, 13 going into those places, and because they didn't have liquor licenses, everyone was allowed to come in, so.
Sure, sure. Now, you told me you got on guitar. How did that happen?
I just begged. I had a, every time I, I think when I was buying records, they were $2.49, and I had a brother who would tape his change to the bottom of his drawer so I couldn't rob him. But whenever he wasn't around, I would get his money, and I'd go to the record store. That's all I did was buy records. And I didn't do school. I didn't study. I didn't do anything. You know, I didn't.
No, I understand that, but how did you get the guitar?
My mom gave it to me for Christmas.
I was
in footsie pajamas still.
Now, did you have a teacher? Did you take lessons? Are you self-taught?
No. Self-taught completely.
Okay. Can you remember? Now, how did you teach yourself? Did you try, like me and D-Boom, we learned by trying to copy songs off records.
Yeah, by ear.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and you know, God, there was so much music going around when I was coming up. I mean, it was, you know, that was just when FM radio had started. So, you know, you could listen, you could put the radio under the pillow all night long and just listen to tunes all night long. And by the time you woke up, you had figured them out on guitar.
And that's pretty good.
You just knew where to go. And also,
I gotta explore that technique, you know, because I've had to do this shit like having to listen a million times, try out all kinds of notes. But maybe I just should just be conking with this shit on, and then I'll be able to play it in the morning.
But also, you know, like I had the Beatles book and the Rolling Stones book.
You had some instruction stuff. Okay. But yeah. Still, you were self-motivated. Can you remember the first song that you learned?
Oh, God, you're gonna laugh. Green Sleeves.
No, that's a good tune. John Coltrane used to do that.
Yeah, that's the first song I figured out. Yeah, because it takes a lot of concentration and... You know, if you really start somewhere like a Green Sleeves, and once you get that song down, then you got it, you know?
Of course. That's from the fucking Middle Ages.
I know. And then I found when I was 8, I found a piano in my friend's garage, and I figured out Give My Regards to Broadway on it, so.
Oh, wow. You know, so you started playing piano, too.
Yeah, I was all over the place. Well, you know, like kids would say, we're going to play Doctor now. And I was like, nah, I don't think so. And I would just go somewhere else. And I wasn't a joiner. You know, I'd rather go find something to bang on or play or listen to.
You know, you gave me this, I guess it's a newer tune, Buku. We used to say Buku in Navy. You know, my papa's a sailor. I grew up Navy housing. And Buku meant a buttload of shit.
I know.
Okay, so we like that word. Let's listen.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Arrivata la notizia che il Papa sarebbe morto. La notizia, la fonte è?
Tre Stelle Ansa.
Tre Stelle Ansa. Il Papa è morto. Io vi prego di alzarvi per favore per un momento di raccoglimento e per chi crede un momento di preghiera.
Giovanni Paolo II se n'è andato, l'hanno trovato morto e riciclato in un prodotto ben confezionato.
Ha visto passare in rassegna la maxi processione, lacrime e sudore e sfinimento, lo speciale diverso anche se quella in realtà un conto
la fetta vanno, ma all'arrivo tu
l'album delle figurine.
We'll be right back. Yavana, 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 Paco. A Yavana, 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 busca. Yo no sé qué pasó, cuéntenme un poquito. Si se van a esconder bajo los sillones. Yo que estaba pensando en la Paulina Gutiérrez, tranquilito mirando el disco de Lipa Niños, porque Nicolás Saldana me dijo en la semana que iban a dar un programa que de animación hablaba. Y he pasado todo el tiempo viendo series infantiles, y esto que me hicieron choca con las series infantiles. Aquí están, me buscan. Yo no sé qué pasó, pero escondo algo. Y ese algo se esconde bajo los muebles.
Se metieron sin permiso, los carabineros vieron. Uno me muestra su cara, es alumno del colegio. Parecen de cuarto medio, yo recién estoy en sexto. Parecen de cuarto medio. Por el miedo, yo lo vi, fue, yo
A lot of DDD.
Show, it's going to be deja vu all over again for my guests because this fucking asshole. 21 years, 10 months of doing this show. Well, 11, actually, and I'm still blowing clams. Boku with Dear France. Position Normal Project. Tribuna Ludo with JP2. All rights reserved. Diego Lorenzi with Series Infantilis. 19 minutes, 40 seconds. 19 minutes, 40 seconds. Yeah, that's the name of the band. Pisces. Ryan Experience. Ride a White Swan. Itchy Self. God Bless the Ego. Mystic Elevator on the Hill. And Tramp from Dear Friends. And we're getting into this period. Like an idiot, I assume that people had garages. Well, maybe they do in that part. There's a trippy part by the boatyard, Columbia Boatyard, where you could see Broadway really high above you going towards Yonkers. And actually, I think it's called Seaman, the street, the last street. And some of them pads had garages.
What? Well, that's
Inwood. That's Inwood, right. There's a park there called Inwood. You're right.
Yeah, there's Inwood Park and Fort Tryon Park, and that's where the cloisters are.
In fact, the East River, which is actually an estuary, when it gets back into the Hudson there, or goes in the Hudson, it's called Spite and Dival, right?
Absolutely, because that's where all the ships from Spain and England, they were sending the payloads for the soldiers. And they all sunk there because of the current.
Right, it was really wild, so they had to blast it to make it bigger and try to get a handle on that.
Yep.
So Watt knows a little bit, but it's fragmented and it's distorted.
Wow, did you know Dennis Driscoll? He lived on Seaman Avenue.
That's the last road, if I recall, because I used to conk a buddy of mine named Jimbo. He had a pad up there, and I would conk there. Anyway, so what I was asking people is about, you know, in school, the basement band, the bedroom band, or the garage band, and Dear France hipping me to the fact, no, not Manhattan. Why? We go to Central Park.
Yeah, we go to the park or Fort Tryon Park. In fact, the first person that Hilly Crystal ever managed was this guy I used to sing in the park with. And he graduated from Berklee School of Music, and he was just really terrific. So somehow we went down like 73 or something and found Hilly, and he booked and he signed him and bought him all his equipment. And then Hilly had this place, Hilly on 9th Street, that I went over there to work. But then he opened up CBGB's on 315 Bowery. So we were going over there, and I was a bartender, and the other singer, a waitress, and the other singer was a waitress. But then this guy, I can't think of his last name, it was Mike something or other, but he wound up getting strung up and ripping Hilly off for all the equipment. And because of that, Hilly didn't sign anyone until the Dead Boys, like, you know, years later, because he was burned, you know. He goes, oh, you know, fuck musicians, you know.
Right, once so, bitten, twice shy.
I know, but meanwhile, all the bands got, you know, talking about Seymour Stein passing away. I mean, Seymour scooped everybody up, and Hilly just sat there not trusting musicians, all because of this guy that I came down there with. So
sure, yeah, things have consequences. I had Richard Lloyd on the show. He told me he helped Hilly build that stage for CB's.
Yes, the television did, yeah. The original stage, the one that was on the left-hand side of the, when you walked into the room, it was a stage, it was on the left-hand side.
Port side. How many letters in left? Right, four. How many letters in port? Four. You'll never forget again.
I forgot you. But the pool table was there.
So you were first in there as a waitress. You weren't really playing yet.
Oh, no.
When did you start playing, Dear France?
When I was 16, I was in California on Haight Street, and I had a band.
San Francisco, yeah.
Yeah, I was playing 16 and 17 out in on Haight Street. And so that's what I did, and I started my songwriting. And,
what do you mean? How'd you get a car? How'd you get out of here?
No, we had a band. I was working across the street from Columbia University at this Greek diner, and he The guy who owned it found out my boyfriend was Greek and he felt bad and he gave me a plane ticket. So I went to California with $2, a tab of acid and a denim jacket. And my friends were there and the radio stations would say, there's a party over here tonight. There's a party over there tonight, caisson and all. And then we would just get in a van because we used to move people's furniture. We'd get in a van and go and walk into these people's houses, and I had a big top hat, and we would just start jamming. And then we'd collect money and, you know.
Okay, so you had a band. What was this band called?
Well, our singer was, I was so young, I didn't understand, but our singer was named Richie Rich, and he wore a gold lame dress, and he had a long blonde wig and high heels, and I was unaware that that was odd. I just thought, wow, I love the way he's dressing.
Sure.
And he booked us at a lot of gay joints. Of course, I was unaware of that, too, because I was just, you know.
What about Christopher Street?
No, San Francisco.
I know, but didn't you have any experience like Christopher Street?
Because I was a girl, you know, the experiences I had with the gay community were not good because there used to be a lot of very aggressive bull dykes back then.
Oh,
and,
okay.
I did a lot of running. I did a lot of running as a young girl.
But you played a lot of, you know, a lot of, even when I was doing punk gigs in the old days, you played a lot of gay places. They were more,
yeah.
They were more open-minded, you know?
Absolutely, and more fun.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Clean bathrooms, too.
Because in the middle of a song, my singer would disappear, and I'd be hitting the tambourine, or like, where did he go? Where did he go? And then he'd come out of the bathroom and jump on stage, and it was just, I don't know.
How long did this band last?
I came back in 70-71, and I went to work for the Academy of Music on 14th Street. So I was the first girl usher, and then I got to see all the bands there.
Now you said in San Francisco you were playing the tambourine. You stopped playing guitar?
I was the girl in the band and the songwriter, so I was dancing and playing the tambourine. But when I wrote the songs, I wrote them on guitar.
Okay.
There was a really great guitar player from Ireland in the band, so.
Now, did you continue playing guitar when you went back to New York City?
Oh, yeah, I always have.
Okay. Now you're working at this place on 14th Street, but are you still doing music at the same time?
I'm doing art at that time. When I came back to San Francisco, I got into art. We were doing the guerrilla art. We'd take huge pieces of, we'd go down to Soho, and back then it was kind of abandoned, and you could find all kinds of materials that were thrown out, you know, and we would just pick up stuff and make stuff and then decorate the city with it. So in the morning when people went to work,
yeah,
there'd be a painting across the bank door so you couldn't get in, or there'd be a big stuff, some sort of something we would make, and we would just stay up all night and decorate the city. It was like guerrilla art. It was really a lot of fun. But then I went over to Max's Kansas City, and I worked the door at Max's Kansas City, and that was 73.
Now, you worked the door there, but did you ever work the stage?
No, I wound up coming back in 77 and booking it, but I never did Max's with my own band, but I sang and played with Lenny Kay and a couple other people. But then I started booking it in 77, and then I, you know, left to go play with John Cale, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, so I'm trying to keep track here. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
A lot happens in New York in one day.
Right. And now when you say you had a band, was that band called Dear France?
No. Which band? Which one are you talking about?
When you were booking at Max's Kansas City?
No, no. I was booking the bands. I brought Devo to Max's and the B-52s.
Understood, and... understood. But you mean when you were booking, you weren't playing?
No. Understood. And then I, but then Jane Friedman put me in the John Cale bands.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But we ran out of time. We're at the end of the first hour of the April 5, 2023 edition WAP Pedro Show. Special guest, dear friends, bass brother Kai. Hold tight for hour two. April 5, 2023. It's the second hour of the WAP for Pedro Show.
Give me a face you can't forget. It stops your heart. It steals your breath.
Motorrad Japan, Japan, Samurai, Kunchon comes,
der Tote bei.
Watch for Pedro show. Start off the second hour. Dear France doing Dear Nico. No, Dark Nico. Sorry. Fucking up, what? Alexander Hack after that. Japan, Japan. This is from his big piece about an imaginary youth in Berlin. Well, he lives in Berlin. He's part of Einstein's and the Neubau, but this is his own project. Then the last edition of Wap Pedro show, I had on Randolph Carter and Richard Fenton and their big treatment of that Alan Moore comic. There were seven parts that we didn't get to, so here they are. Curious Orange Suite, The Problem with Modernity Symbolizes 16,000 Oranges. Less than one. what's it called? The Virtual Museum of Virtual Memory. That's the name of their project. And less than one. Then we had Curious Orange Suite, Three Pyramids of Decay, Nuns, Fish, and Oranges. Then Curious Orange Suite, Mind the Oranges, Marion. No, Marlin. Not Marion. Fuck. My eyes. Lesson one. And the Museum of Virtual Memory. Then From the Mouth of Defeat, A Gut Reaction, Close the Curtains, Jeffrey on Amphibious, and the Closing Titles. Yep. Lesson one. And the Museum of Virtual Memory. And then finally, Movie Theater from Dear Friends. Okay, so you're going to join. You know, I knew the drummer of that band. I think you're referring to this phase of John Cale's career, Dougie Bound.
Yes,
because I saw that tour, Survive, right? Ready for war.
Yes.
You better be ready for war. He wore like a fucking yellow hard hat and a white shirt and a tie.
He did. And we had mannequins. And
right. And he was asking people to register for the draft because Soviets had gone into Afghanistan. Anyway, so you're in the band as a guitarist?
No,
Chris Bednarlot on his records. I know that.
Yeah, no, with John Cale Band, I was percussionist and background singer.
Okay.
First I recorded with Tom Verlaine before I went into his band, but then we were on the road, and it was, you know, that's
Tom Verlaine, you're talking about television.
Yeah, I sang on his record first.
Oh, when he was making solo records?
Yeah, his first solo record.
Okay. Yeah. And then, so you said somebody put you in John Cale's band.
Jane Friedman. She was Patti Smith's manager, television manager.
And also that's to connect with Lenny Kaye.
Yes, and John Cale's manager. She ran War Talk. War Talk, WARTOKE. You know, she was the woman behind Woodstock even, you know, like.
Wow.
Yeah, so the silent partner. She's the one who really, she's a very powerful, powerful person and still is.
Do you remember your first gig with John Cale?
Oh, we went up to New Haven, Connecticut?
Yes, home of Yale.
Yeah. It was really, really cool because John doesn't get off the stage until everyone is about to commit suicide. So he would hang himself from the rafters. He would cut himself. People in the front row were always in wheelchairs and drinking, you know, car fluids and It was really quite a scene, the John Cale
story. Okay, I'll tell you my John Cale story. The Minutemen was going to open for him in Long Beach here in the early 80s. And he was this was solo. He had no band. It's after this Survive thing that you were part of. So this is him just with a piano tuner. So a piano would be at every venue, right? So he gets done with his sound check. It's at Fender's Ballroom downtown Long Beach across the harbor from here in Pedro. And so we're ready to do our sound check, and he looks at us. He's like wearing a Hawaiian shirt, and he's fucked up out of his head. A baracho, right, drinking. And he's like, the piano ain't going to move. And we're like, we would be very, very honored to share this stage with your piano, Mr. Cale. And he said, you would. And then he looks at D. Boone, and D. Boone's got these fucking shorts he found at a thrift store. Well, it was an army surplus. Like, they wear this over the uniform to protect from chemical warfare. So it's got no fucking pockets. So John Cale's pointing at these pants and laughing his head. He says, what the fuck are those for? So you don't have to feel the weight of the heavy coin? But D-Boone, you know, D-Boone laughs and shit, you know, and him and, you know, we do our thing, and him and Georgie Drummer leave, and it's just me and John Cale in the fucking pad. The sound man, the piano tuner, everybody leaves. It's just me and him. And he tells me to sit down on the edge of the stage, and he goes to the piano, and he looks me square in the eye, and he starts singing Streets of Laredo. As I walked out, you know, and I started crying. He sang the whole song, got up and left. And I'm the only dude in there.
Yeah.
That's my John Cale story. So it ended up, he was looking for a fight, but, man, we just loved him so much, there was no fight.
Yeah. I'm born on D-Boone's birthday. We share a birthday.
April Fool's. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. You know what? You gave me this song here, Lazy Heart. I want to play Lazy Heart.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
for Pedro show. That chunk of music is a little one, but it started with Dear France doing Lazy Heart, which surprised her. I guess Bass Brother Kai gathered all the material. Thank you so much. And then we had Kato Hideki, Hideki Kato, the way we say it, watching The Sleeping Lover. And then finally, Blue House from Dear France. So, how long did you play with John Cale?
2 years. I was in Europe with him in 77, and then he came back over to New York, and I left Max's and toured with him until 80. The middle of 80, and then I went to Paris. So, it was cantankerous, and it was a lot of Peruvian marching powder involved. A lot.
That probably didn't help.
in fact, it was Iggy. You know, I had a big fight with Cale one night, and I wouldn't get in the van. And then Dougie comes out. We were in the same hotel. He goes, "What's up?" And Ivan Crowell was in the band. And
oh, bassman. Yeah, he helped Iggy out with some solo stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and they go, "Oh, you can come with us." So I finished the tour with Iggy and those guys. They got me back to New York City.
Yeah, Iggy didn't like the book he wrote, I don't think.
Yeah.
That's okay. He's a good bass player, Ivan Crowell. Well, Czech guy, right? We lost him to cancer or something a couple of years ago. So, you know, I helped the Stooges out for 125 months.
What?
Yeah, yeah. I saw you play uptown here in New York.
Total mind blow for me, man. I couldn't believe that. I thought it was going to be one gig at Coachella.
No, it was an amazing show.
Well, they're amazing cats. Ashton Brothers, Brother Steve, Ig, James Williamson later.
The Temple uptown New York.
What was his name? Pie in the Sky, Reverend.
Yes,
It's like a little Dominican area up there.
Up in 75th Street where Malcolm X was shot?
Yeah. No, it's more north than that. It's like where Reverend Ike used to do his services.
Oh. Yeah.
Beautiful theater.
Yeah, old timey. Yeah. You know, a little north of Harlem. I loved every gig I played. They all seemed like they were 5 minutes long. So what do you do music-wise, Dear France, in Paris?
There was this French boy who had seen me performing, and I'd gotten I joined the Grape Pickers Union, because I thought the insanity of being on the road was really getting to me, so I joined the Grape Picking Union, and they picked me, and all I had to do was get to the south of France, and then they put you up for 3 months, and they feed you, and then they give you a case of wine. So I thought, that's good, let me get my fingers in the soil. But
You know who worked agriculture in the south of France? It actually was during the Second War. Was Sam Beckett. And he wrote a book called Watt, W-A-T-T, my name.
Yay! Another fellow Aries, yeah.
Okay. So you weren't doing music while you were picking grapes?
No, I never got there because you remember, there was this band called the Stinky Toys. It was Jacques No.
I remember those cats, yeah.
Yeah. So I was with my friend, and we were dancing at some club, and they saw us, and then, you know, in Paris, word gets around quickly. So this guy, he just sent the limousine over for me, and he goes, "You know, will you sing on my record before you leave town?" And I said, "Yeah." And so I just moved in. I just moved in with him, and I never went to the south of France. I just stayed there.
We're going to continue on, but we're at the end of the second hour, April 5, 2023, Dish Watt Pedro, so special guest, Dear France, Bass Brother Kai, hold tight for hour three. April 5, 2023, it's the third hour, Watt from Pedro Show. Pedro Show start off the third hour. Dear France, doing Rodin. And then Al Margolis out of Chester, New York, up the river a little bit there. Guitars, in parentheses, of March, might be just one. Dear France, oh boy, and Walter Wright. Walter Wright and Margolis, not by accident, because I'm doing a third collab with these guys. El Cabong. And this was Because Sam from Walter Wright. Both beautiful men. Dear France, finally, with Racked. I think it's a newer tune, right? And so how'd you meet bass brother Kai?
Well, because he's friends with D-Pop. When I came back
from D-Pop, Paris, the drummer man we just lost, right?
When I came back from
had
Paris.
Had Cynthia on the show twice for the Bush Tetras coming back together. And that broke my heart when I heard that.
Yeah, that was a terrible thing. So D and I started a band, and then we got married, and then we had a baby, and we kept playing. But then, you know, the world gets in the way. So I moved to California to start an extension of the Detroit Free Press for High Times magazine. And he stayed in the city, went back to the Bush Tetras. And Dee and Kai were friends from, you know, way back. So when I started another band, you know, for about 15 years with Paul Chapin. But then I came back to the city and I called Dee. He said, well, come on, let's go play. And I said, well, do you know a bass player? And he goes, yeah, Kai. And so we just started playing, and we've been playing for the last 4 years. And also when I was with Dee, we had a band called Floor Kiss, and Rich Thomas was the guitar player. And so was Michael Palmgarden and Kevin Fullen. Kevin Fullen from Nona Hendrix and Michael Palmgarden from Eight Eyed Spy.
Sure, sure. Lydia's band.
Yeah. So we all had bands together.
When was the first gig you guys played together?
D and I?
No. Bass brother Kai. We should be talking to the man who's sitting with you, okay?
Yeah.
No, disrespect to brother D. I mean, I want to see how he fits in here. Do you remember the first gig?
I remember Dear France coming over to my apartment, and she came up and she showed up with these great songs. You know, I'm pretty picky.
Yeah.
I'm pretty picky about the commitment that it takes to join a band. And so, you know, just like a great actor who chooses his scripts carefully.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to her songs, and we sat down, and I picked up my bass, put it in my lap, and we sat there in the living room, and she just played one song after another, and they were tricky.
Yeah.
The songs sounded beautiful, but they were tricky. There was something to them, and so we started to. Then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And she became my COVID buddy. We really weren't playing out that much. There was no place to play.
Yeah.
But she kept showing me song after song. And one day I looked up and I said, man, there's 40 songs here.
Jesus.
You know.
Time to record, right? Time to record.
Right. Yeah, that's what we just did. We went to Sonic Lounge in Ohio with Joe Beer's studio.
Yeah.
Which, I'm telling you, anyone gets the chance to go there, book some time.
He's an amazing engineer, too, and wound up being our producer on a lot of the tracks you're playing today.
Ah, Road, okay.
Theater, Boku, Blue House. Blue House, by the way, Kevin Fullen is playing bass on that. He's excellent, excellent, lovely man.
You're saying the songs were in a couple batches.
Yeah.
There was an earlier batch and then a later batch.
Yeah.
But they were both done in Ohio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about this tune here? I want to play this tune called Loser.
Okay. Oh, it's beautiful.
Where was it? Yeah, where was this one done? Was it part of the first batch or the second batch?
First batch.
Goes on miles and miles.
Watt for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. We started that chunk off with Dear France doing Loser, then from Baltimore, Mold Omen with Agram Mahex, Zach Rosen, brand new, Monsters and Men, out of Chicago, Death Tape Super Bass. Love that name. Tooth Party. Mm. Tooth Party. You know, Pedro here, what's the favorite pickup line in a San Pedro bar?
What?
Nice tooth. Yeah. Methamphetamine, hell of a hobby, people. Okay. After Tooth Party was Peak Moon, Dear France. So, enlighten us about Loser.
Oh, boy. Well, Loser is, I don't know, I'm sort of a moody person. You know, I go for the people who don't fit in. I'm not attracted to winners.
And that's how we met.
So
at the job.
Yeah, and this is the process. She just runs by this tunes by you with the guitar, and then you figure out bass parts. How does the drummy work in?
Say that again.
Well, she's playing you the song she's written on the guitar and singing them, and then you come up with bass parts. How do you work in the drums?
D, of course, was a quick study, and he would show up. We showed up with bass and guitar parts and vocal parts kind of pretty well structured, and then he would jump in and very quickly find a part.
And also, we were playing outside on the street in front of art galleries because of COVID, so, you know, it got to the point where, especially drummers, they were like, I'm not carrying this trap around, you know, I don't have the time for this. And Dee was the only one who was like, you know, get on the subway, you know, carry the drums, set it up on the street. We're all wearing jackets, hats, and scarves, and play for hours.
That's because he's from the old days, you know, and maybe the new people, little sense of entitlement, because in the old days, you had to make it happen.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but those ethics are hard to, like, beat into people's brains. You know, if they don't believe, they don't believe. They'll find out. So what's the next plan? You got how many songs you got recorded now?
So we got,
about 12 now recorded.
So you got an album worth. 12. Are you going to put out an album?
Well, we put out an EP. Okay. Right now it's just on Bandcamp while we're trying to figure out the whole distribution situation.
Sure. What about gigs, touring?
But we're playing April 16th, and then...
Where at?
At Lucky on Avenue B in 10th Street in Manhattan.
Okay.
And if anybody's listening out there in California who wants to book us, just get in touch with you, I guess.
We will travel anywhere for a gig.
Well, but there's no Dear France website, is there?
No, we're up on Bandcamp.
Okay,
right
that's
now.
How people... People, go to the Bandcamp, look up in their little search engine there, Dear France, D-E-E-R-F-R-A-N-C-E. That's a trippy name. How'd that name come?
Dear France is the name of the machine that Buddha left the planet in after he imparted all his wisdom to the 12 animals.
Ah, the Bodhi tree. After the 40 days under the Bodhi tree,
Yes. Okay.
I'm a slow learner, so thank you for hitting me there.
But
if you go there, people, at the Bandcamp page, there's something that says contact the artist. So that's how you can book Dear France.
Oh, yeah.
So it's dearfrance.bandcamp.com, I believe.
Right. That's correct. And, man, I would love to see you guys live. I mean, how many people are in the band now?
Well, now we have Bo Conlon, who was in the Bodines. He's the drummer.
I remember Bodines. That was a while ago. Yeah.
So now he's the drummer. But we also have Jonathan Paley out in L.A., and then Rich Thomas from Ohio. So, you know, it's just only Kai and I are local.
Yeah.
So when we play, we have to gather.
Sure.
So, but we just always kept thinking that, you know, COVID would end. But so many people in New York are still wearing masks.
Yeah.
But I went to a few gigs in the last week or two, so people are finally out again.
Okay.
I know the Butch Sisters are playing May 3rd at Union Pool, so I don't know if they have an opening act, but it's time to get back on the pony because...
Back on the pony.
lost a lot of people during COVID. It was a dark time, man.
Yeah. We are actually playing kind of a trial balloon gig over at a place called Lucky's in Lower Manhattan on the 16th. So if anybody's listening who's in Manhattan, we'll be there.
I wish I was there. I'd be in the pit and I'd start some shit.
Yeah!
Look, when you guys get another batch of songs recorded, will you come back on the show? We can play them and talk about it?
Yes!
Absolutely.
Ah, that would be beautiful. Beautiful.
Why don't you come to Ohio and sit in on a couple of numbers?
When I get a little bit of time, I will. I would love to. I love Ohio. And I'd love to complain. And these tunes you gave me, I'm bitching. I would love to be part of stuff like that.
Well, thank you.
But I don't want to take your job, Bass Brother Kai. Okay. So anyway, you get another batch, come back on. I'm waiting. The invite's open. Right. People, it's been the April 5, 2023 edition of Wap's Pedro, so keep your powder dry.